Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us online. We appreciate you coming and taking part of what's going on here with our Rio Church family. Today, we're going to be talking about timeless relational wisdom, and it's a continuance of some of the things that we talked about last week. God has really made us to be relational beings, even those of us who are introverts. You know, it's like, well, you know, I still have my marriage and my friends and my family and extended family and coworkers and neighbors. And, you know, even if you don't feel like you're very relational, you're involved in relationships all the time. And I feel like the deeper those relationships are, the more likely it is that there'll be some tension or some conflict. And it's just hard to really have deep, meaningful relationships. And so we want to just look at what Scripture says, what the book of Proverbs says, because there's a lot of practical wisdom in that book. And we want to learn from that and apply that to our lives so that it can help bring life to our relationships. And so the first thing I want to talk about is how we need to be the changee and not the changer. And I think what can happen is in relationships, it's really easy for us to feel like, oh, you know, this would be a great relationship if this other person would change. You know, if they would just fix these three things, boy, that would help a lot. And it's easy for our focus to be on them changing instead of the need that we have to change. And I think it'd be really helpful for us to realize, well, I can't really change them. All I can do mostly is just to work on myself, my own relationship with God, the way that I respond to other people. And that would be a great place for me to start. I want to look at some subpoints on this. And the first is just not to be the jerk or to be the fool. And in a relationship, sometimes there is a person who is acting like a fool or acting like a jerk. And you know, nobody wants to be that person. At least I would certainly hope not. Let's look at some Proverbs on this. Proverbs 10:14 says, "The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin." And if you've ever been in an argument and you said something with your mouth and it got you into trouble, we know what that feels like, right? It invites ruin. It invites destruction instead of bringing life into that conflict. In Proverbs 12:16, it says, "Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult." And again, we're probably all guilty of that, that, you know, it's pretty easy to get annoyed, and that ties into being foolish instead of just overlooking things at times. Proverbs 14:16, "The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence." Again, I think about that in arguments with people, how easy it is to just plunge ahead and be like, oh, I just want to say this one thing, and I don't care what damage it does. I don't care how it makes you feel. I don't care what consequences come with this. I just got to get this off my chest. And we all know that does not always end well, and I think that can be a real foolishness when we do that. Proverbs 14:17 says, "A quick-tempered person does foolish things." And we've probably all been in that spot too, right? Where we're quick-tempered and we just kind of explode and we do foolish things that bring destruction to the relationship. And so Proverbs talks a lot about fools. And I think we want to be careful with that because none of us want to be the fool. And yet it's talked about like this is kind of an important thing. You know, like maybe there are actually lots of people who are fools. And I think it would be healthy for us just to realize, you know what? Sometimes I can play that part. Sometimes I can be the fool. I can be the jerk. I can be the one who's just being selfish and thinking about my own interests instead of wanting what's good for our relationship. And so we want to really fight against that. I think about that thing where drivers, like 73% of people think they're a better than average driver. And I think we can be that way with this foolishness too. You know, it's like, well, I'm sure that at least 73% of people would think that, well, I'm not the fool. And boy, in a relationship, sometimes it's just good to realize, you know what? I can be, and I got to be really careful with that. We need to acknowledge that we have plenty of room to grow. Proverbs 29 says, "Who can say, I've kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin?" That's obviously a rhetorical question. It doesn't expect an answer because the answer is obvious. Well, none of us can say that. We've all done things that are wrong. So it's just good to recognize that we can be wrong at times, that we are wrong at times. And we want to really be careful to watch for those times and to change course when that happens. We talked about humility some last week. Let's just look at a couple of verses real quick on that. Proverbs 18:12, "Before a downfall, the heart is haughty or proud, but humility comes before honor." And Proverbs 26:12, "Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. And that's kind of a scary proverb because it kind of implies it's like, man, if you're right in your own eyes, you're just toast. And I think maybe what would be helpful here is just a prayer, because we're all going to think that we're right in our own eyes, right? We're all going to think that our way is right. That's just natural to think that way. And I think just to have a prayer of, you know, God, I always feel like I'm right and I need to grow in this. And I pray that you would help me to be humble and that you would gently lead me down a path of understanding where the other person's coming from, and just to humble myself. And I think it's great to pray things like that. And then I think we need to be quick to admit when we're wrong. And you don't have to always admit for the whole kit and caboodle in a big argument. You know, it's just whatever little part, it could be like, okay, yeah, well, I did respond kind of strong in that point, or I was really out of the spirit here, or yeah, I shouldn't have said this part. I knew I shouldn't have said it. You know, just apologize for whatever that you know that you've done wrong. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools mock at making amends for sin. I think usually because they don't think they did anything wrong. And so they mock the idea that they should make amends. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And that's what we want. We want mercy. We want healing. We want a restoration of the relationship. And then Proverbs 29:1 says, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. That there is a consequence. So when we never yield, never yield, never yield, that at some point we're going to do some damage. And sometimes that damage is going to be irreparable. You know, it's just, we're not going to be able to recover from that. And we want to be really careful just to be humble and to realize that we're wrong, to admit it when we're wrong, and to take our eyes off of the other person. Of, oh, if they would just change and realize, oh, I have a lot of room to change. Focus on that. And I think that will bring life. And the other person, I'm sure, will continue to change and grow as well. And that will help bring life to the relationship. So that's the first thing I wanted to share on.
Proverbs 18 says that we each possess something that has the power of life and the power of death. And this thing that we have has the ability to bring life, to bring death. And that is our tongue. The words that we speak to one another have the ability to go towards life, to go towards death, to build up or to tear down, to cause good or to cause destruction. And Proverbs 15:23 says, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in a season, how good it is. How good it is to hear a word at the right time. How powerful it can be. Our words at the right time can comfort someone who's brokenhearted, can lift up the spirits of someone who feels defeated, bring courage to someone who lacks courage. But they can also belittle someone who already feels insecure and low about themselves. Our words have such tremendous power. Proverbs 25:11-12 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. So I don't know about your house. I don't have any super fancy silver and gold settings. But if you imagine like an extremely rich palace, the most gorgeous, ornate, ornamental silver and gold things that you can fathom, it's saying that's what a word spoken at the right time is like. It is so beautiful. And it even says that is what a wise reprover is to a listening ear. And so to reprove someone is to like correct and say, hey, you're off base there. Let me reprove you. That wasn't right, or you're off track. And to a listening ear, that is like the most beautiful, ornate, gorgeous thing you can imagine. is a word spoken at the right time. It's like, I needed that. I needed to hear that. And if you think about your life, I'm sure you can think of things that people spoke to you as just, I needed that. I needed that at that time. And we have that opportunity to speak to others in fitting ways, or to just to be careless. And I know even this week, we'll just bring it home. I know some of my words were not fitting. They were just careless. And we got our stimulus check this week. And then my wife, Holly, was saying, hey, I was thinking to buy a new tent, which is a great idea. We've, our old tent that we've patched together all these years is definitely ready to be replaced. And so rather than just being like, yeah, that's a great idea, just recklessly with my words, carelessly without even thinking, what comes out of my mouth is, well, we don't have to spend that entire check. And the amazing thing is Holly was able the next day to share with me, hey, when you said that, it made me think that you think I'm just going to throw all our money away, or I just want to spend it all. And I was like, I didn't really mean anything by that. I don't know why that came out. I don't know why I said that. Obviously, there was something in there that I wanted to say, but it wasn't. It didn't come across well. And then for her to be able to actually have that courage and that skill to come to me and say, hey, I wanted to talk about that comment. Like, what did you mean by that? I was really impressed with her ability to use her words. And it was calm. It wasn't, you know, like, hey, you're such a jerk, which I was. But the power of our words, those things that we say to each other. And so I just say that as I'm not perfect. And also, what an awesome thing that my wife did. We're growing. I think there's hope. We can grow. And that's a good thing. And so Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. And then in 4 it says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. And that gentleness in our speech, I think one of the places where our words are the most powerful is after someone has completely failed. They completely blow it. And the words that are spoken at that time are so powerful. They cut in somewhere deep. And those words, I know even one time when I just completely blew it, and for my wife to say, I still think you're cool, meant so much. And other times, rather than gentle, it can just cut to the spirit. And I know that things have happened and I've just reacted. And rather than being gentle, cut to the spirit. If one of our kids drops a plate and it shatters on the tile floor, it's like they feel bad. The words I speak in that moment carry, I think, a little bit of extra weight. May we be careful with our words. May we use this beautiful sword, scalpel, I don't know what it is that we have, not to just chop each other up, but to really bless and protect and help each other.
So when we think about having good relationships and the amount of work and effort it takes, I think it becomes pretty obvious that it's going to involve a lot of work on our part, a lot of self-control in our anger, with our speech. And that's a pretty challenging thing to do. And so next point might seem a little bit funny for some people, but the next point is just not to drink too much. And I think when you think about the self-control that it takes to be able to, you know, just not lose it with our speech, that's pretty hard just normally. And then if you're a little bit drunk or something, that's going to be, you know, 10 times worse. And so just real practically, I think Proverbs helps us in that, that if we want to have good relationships, it's probably important that we're not drinking too much. And of course, if you're in bad relationships, it might be tempting to do that. Let's just look at a couple of Proverbs related to that. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise." And you might remember personification in English class, and it's the idea that you take something that's inanimate, something that's non-living, and you give it the properties of something that's living. And so, like, when you say wine is a mocker, it doesn't mean wine looks at you and says, ha, ha, ha. You know, it's not like that. It's saying that when we drink wine, when we get drunk, then we become mockers. And beer is a brawler. Well, beer doesn't brawl with anybody. What's it talking about? Well, it's talking about how when people get drunk, they can tend to be brawlers, that they want to fight. And, you know, what did you say? And it's just really easy to lose some of that self-control. And so, boy, it's really helpful if you want to be victorious in self-control and in being wise in your relationships. It's probably important that you're not getting drunk or whatever, weed or drugs or whatever might impair you. Proverbs 23, 29 through 35. We're not going to read the whole thing. It's kind of a long passage. But it says, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine." And it goes on and talks more about some of the effects of alcohol. But just when you think about that, who has strife? Or the New American Standard says, who has contentions? You know, who has a hard time getting along with people? Well, sometimes it's people who have a hard time with drinking. And just, I really encourage you, if that's a struggle for you, and if that's affecting your relationships, boy, it'd be good to work on some of the relational problems. But something that might make a big difference is if you cut back or just cut out the alcohol. So just real super practical advice from Proverbs. And I think it could really help a lot of people. All right, I have one more thought to share with you guys, and it relates to getting counsel. I think it's really important for us to get counsel when things are hard, and sometimes even before they get very hard. And so your point there is just get pre-disaster counsel. And let's look at a few Proverbs related to that. Proverbs 20 verse 18 says, "Plans are established by seeking advice, so if you wage war, obtain guidance." And the next verse is going to deal with waging war as well. And if you think about just the importance of winning, the importance of winning when you wage war, because if the enemy wins, all kinds of bad things can happen, right? You could get carried off into slavery. They could burn down your villages. They could carry off your women and children. You know, you don't know what the stakes are, but you know, it's like you don't want to find out, right? And so because the stakes are so high, it's like, man, I am going to do whatever I can to make sure that I do well as we engage this battle. And I think the same thing when it's dealing with a marriage or an important friendship, to realize it's like, man, I got to do everything I can to make sure that we get through this, and not have this mindset of like, oh, I don't want to get counsel. You know, I don't want to get counsel till it's really bad or something. And so your next proverb there is similar, Proverbs 24:6. "Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors." It's good to get advice. And again, just thinking about waging war, if you were going to get advice when you're waging a war, when would you do it? Would it be, you know, before the war starts? You know, as you're just thinking you might engage in a war? Or would it be when, you know, maybe the enemy has already knocked down your fence, knocked down your wall, and tore down your towers, and they have thousands of people coming in and flooding into your country? You know, is that the time to be like, oh, I should get some advice? Well, I think that's what people do a lot of times. Is it's so humbling, I think, to go and get counsel from somebody. And so we wait until things are just so desperate. And I would encourage you to get pre-disaster counsel, you know, to get help from people before things are falling apart. So, like, again, if you think of war, well, at the very beginning of the war, it would be a great time to get counsel. Or maybe the first time you lose a couple skirmishes, you'd be like, whoa, okay, this is not going the way I expected. And so the same thing in marriage or in an important relationship with roommates or a coworker or your small group leader or whoever, just to be willing to say, you know what, things are not going well between us and we need to bring in somebody from the outside to give us some thoughts on this and try to help us work through this. I would encourage you to get that help before things get crazy, because once they get crazy, it's really hard to repair things when the damage has gone to a certain extent. All right, the last proverb I have for you there is Proverbs 27:9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. And sometimes it's just good to get a friend's heartfelt advice. And so there are three different ways I would encourage you to get advice, get counsel. The first is pretty easy one, I think, and that's just to get counsel from Scripture. If you look at the beginning of Proverbs, as it tells what benefit those Proverbs bring, it's one of the things is in getting wisdom, you know, getting counsel. And you can read through Proverbs and it'll help you. And so, you know, we've looked at a bunch of Proverbs, but I would keep reading through, getting advice, trying to follow what God has for us in there. And so that's a way you can get counsel without even necessarily getting into an embarrassing situation or something. And then I think, you know, if you have people in your small group or people who know you well, people who are following the Lord, by all means, you know, just say, hey, can we, you know, toss some things around with you and get some advice, or you have a problem at work, you might just go and talk to somebody and get your thought. Maybe it's not with both parties there, but just get advice. It's so helpful. And then I think, you know, to talk to one of your pastors, to talk to Dove or I, and, you know, we would always be glad to help you through a tough time and just give our insights. We don't have all the answers, but I really feel like Scripture equips us to do the work that God has for us. People had tough relationships, tough marriages, clear back in Bible times. And so the wisdom that's given in the Bible can actually help us even now, even with the struggles that we face in today's day and age. So I think I would just encourage you, you know, don't wait until things are going crazy until you get counsel. Get counsel as soon as you realize it's like, ah, this is not going the way that I want it to go.
So the next thing I want to mention is the connection between what many people call our vertical relationship, our vertical connection to God, and our horizontal relationships, meaning our relationships to other people. And so as fellow human beings, we are horizontal, and then God, even though, you know, God is present, not like God is just up there, but that vertical relationship to God, they're connected and they affect each other. And when our relationship with God is solid, when it's going well, then our relationships with people work. When we get this right, it allows these ones to work out and to find beautiful things in those. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So when our ways are right with God, we'll even have peace with our enemies. And so I see that in my life. In my life, when I'm before God, I'm feeling guilty, or I'm ashamed, or I just feel pathetic, then that comes out in my relationship with others, in all these unhealthy things. And it's not even about them. It's about me and my own sense of who I am before God. When I'm feeling afraid, when I'm feeling anxious, when I'm not trusting God, that comes out in my relationship with others. When I'm feeling alone, when I'm feeling unloved, or when I'm feeling unwanted, or just like I don't belong, then it comes out in these negative ways. And I could try to patch those up or just try to be nicer or something, but really the root of it is in my own life and in my own connection to God. And the opposite is true. When I really feel loved by God and cherished, it comes out in the way I treat others. When I feel like I belong and I'm desired and accepted by God, it overflows to others. When I feel like I am valued and cherished and wanted, when I feel like I'm the beloved, when I know that God loves me so deeply, it comes out, it flows out. Where the river flows, everything will live. Where we are connected to God, it empowers all of these things that on our own, we just can't really produce. And I had a really interesting experience with God last week. After dinner, I was taking the trash out. And as I was taking out the trash, I realized just in this moment, me and God, that I had been avoiding God all day. And I had been avoiding God. I was happy to go do this side job and I wanted to just stay and keep working. And I knew that if I wasn't there, I was going to spend some time in prayer. I had some challenging things I wanted to pray through, really seek God in. And I was avoiding God. And down at the depth of my being, I had this sense that if I just spent a day with God, he would just tell me all the ways that I'm messing up. He would tell me more of how I need to do more. He would tell me more of just criticism. And I didn't have the strength to hear that. I didn't want to go and just have my boss say that I needed to work harder. And right there, I realized that if I came to God, he wouldn't just give me a list. He wouldn't just criticize me. And right there, just in this touching moment, I just realized when I come to God, he wraps his arms around me and he loves me and strengthens me. And certainly he has things in my life that he's working on, but he's just so full of love and he loves me so deeply. And I just was really touched just to realize that that view of God was messed up. That's not the real view of the real God, the true and living God who loves us. And as we grow and connect and as God's love transforms us and transforms our thinking, and we know and experience his love as we are vessels of the divine love, and if his love fills our cup and we start to overflow with love to others, we have something to give. And I hope in the things that we've shared the past couple weeks, there's something where God is planted a seed, where God is at work and that seed grows and shakes you up a little bit, rattles up your life, and the roots go down and start to grow and produce fruit. And may we know that deep and awesome love of God. May we know that awesome and deep faithfulness of God who stands by us, who walks with us, who never rejects us or abandons us. And from that, may we love each other and experience the fruit of those. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 has meant a lot to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And that just means so much to me as I'm so prone to just trust in my own knowledge, to lean on my own understanding, but to trust God that he's good, that he's reliable, that he's for us, and to trust him when we don't understand, trust him when we're in the corner, trust him when life is challenging, and to allow his love to really soak into the depths of us. I still have more of those places where I don't know God's love, where I haven't allowed his love to touch part of me and to transform me. And as he does, it is such a gift. And I just pray that these things would continue to grow in you and bless you as God continues to love you and reveal more of himself to you. So let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for your deep love for us. Thank you that you love even me. Thank you that you continue to reveal your love to us in awesome ways. Thank you for the things you want to speak to us. I pray that they would grow. I give you permission to rattle my cage, to shake up some things in me, to shake up some ways where my thinking is messed up. I give you permission. I ask you that those things from you would grow root, that the seeds would sprout and germinate and thrive and bear fruit in my life. We love you, God. You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are going to worship our Lord King a little more, and then there's some announcements and a testimony. Thank you guys for tuning in. God bless you and keep you.